VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Friends, thank you for joining us on Crosstalk. Our focus returns to Israel and the Middle East today, as there is no letup of news coming from this region. Yesterday, we dealt extensively with the news of the Iranian president being killed in a helicopter crash. Today, the Israeli Defense Force is continuing to operate in the area of Rafah. Hundreds of additional tunnel shafts have been discovered, with some crossing into Egypt. Israel National News reported that earlier today, the IDF soldiers located and destroyed multi-barrel rocket launchers that were ready to fire toward Israeli territory. They report that the launch sites were located in the eastern Rafah area along the Philadelphia corridor. You see, the barbaric actions taken against Israel on October 7th was not enough. Not enough were killed, not enough were butchered, not enough destruction was carried out. The ultimate goal of Hamas, of Hezbollah, of Iran, and it appears to be on many university campuses on U.S. soil as well, is to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. Meanwhile, a prosecutor with the International Criminal Court announced Monday that he has filed an application for arrest warrants against Israel's prime minister, against Israel's defense minister, and Hamas leaders, equating them all together. And now, after a failed vote from the UN Security Council, we observe that the nations of Norway, Ireland, and Spain are announcing their recognition of Palestine as a state. Well, with comment and analysis of these, as well as other related issues, and also look at Bible prophecy, we welcome back to Crosstalk Dr. Gary Frazier, a respected speaker and writer on the subject of Bible prophecy, the founder and president of Discovery Missions. He's the author of numerous books, Miracle of Israel, It Could Happen Tomorrow, Hell is for Real, Divorcing God, the Two Americas, and The Event, the Dream of World Peace Realized. Dr. Frazier, thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
Hey, Jim, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Well, you heard my opening. It seems day by day the situations are being complicated in the Middle East, but one remaining constant remains, and that's the growing hatred against Israel.
Well, Jim, what I would love to do today in the time that we have is I want to share with our listeners the big picture. You know, day by day, things are happening, and we kind of get focused on things that occur, you know, momentarily, and as I said, you know, just a day by day kind of thing. But I want to look at a big picture today, and here's the big picture. We need to focus on the fact that, first of all, biblical prophecy is going to be fulfilled. 24% of the Bible is prophetic at the time it is written. There are 109 specific prophecies contained in the Word of God, pertaining to Jesus' first coming or being born. And then there are three times that many, 327, pertaining to the second coming of Jesus. And that does encompass both the coming of Christ for the saints, which we know we call it the rapture of the church, and also then the second coming of Jesus, as Revelation 19:11 through 20, reveals to us. So we know that Bible prophecy is in fact going to take place. But one of the things that we forget is that biblical prophecy is fulfilled incrementally over time. And what I mean by that is that something will start at point A and it increases in intensity. And is that not what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 24, verse 8, when he made reference to the birth pains, because we know that birth pains increase with frequency and intensity.
Right.
So I want our listeners today to focus in, and what is it that we are actually looking at in the big picture? And here it is. The Word of God in Zechariah chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, plainly makes it clear that the whole world will turn against the nation of Israel and also the Jewish people as well. And so here we are watching this development take place right before our very eyes. So we need to understand that there is a satanic war that is taking place. It's being waged against the Jewish people, the Jewish ethnicity. And by the way, let me just say, it's been tried before. Pharaoh tried that in Egypt. Didn't turn out real well for him and his army. Hitler tried it in the 30s and the 40s. It didn't turn out real well for them either. But Satan doesn't give up. And so we need to remember that the whole world is going to turn against Israel. Now, when we talk about that, what are we seeing today? Well, first of all, we have seen the governments of the world on October 7th, they all stepped up and made all kinds of supportive statements for Israel's right to exist in the land, for Israel's right to defend themselves, and they just went on and on and on about all that. And then watch what happened just in the few weeks that followed that.
Mm-hmm.
There began to be a shift away from supporting Israel toward actually supporting the terrorist organization of Hamas in Israel, Hezbollah in Lebanon,
mm-hmm.
and Iran, and anyone else in the world who hates the Jews.
Yes.
And so that has migrated now across our own nation. Now, can you imagine what would happen in America if today, Jim, you or I or anyone stood up and said, we want to kill all blacks, we want to kill all Hispanics, we want to kill all Asians. Can you imagine what would happen if we cried out for the death of other ethnicities? People would be going crazy. And yet today, we're watching them scream from the river to the sea, which is a genocidal statement concerning the Jewish people. In other words, the total destruction of Jews. And it's not just Jewish people in Israel, by the way. Jewish people in Europe are a threat, Jewish people in America as well, and students and so forth. So what we're seeing is a well-funded, well-orchestrated demonstration process that whereby this is being led by actual terrorists who are being paid by Soros and Bill Gates and who knows who else that's on that page. But the bottom line is the tents are the same, the signs are the same. It's a well-led thing. And the truth is, and here's what's really sad about this whole thing, we see college students who have no idea why they're even there.
Right.
They don't even know what they're protesting about, but they're just going along with it, and that's the scary part. And that's why they're being called useful idiots, because of the fact that they have no frame of reference historically that Israel has a right to protect themselves in their own land as a sovereign nation on the world stage.
You know, Dr. Frazier, and we talk about this, and I just did a quick Bible search before this interview here today, and I found that Israel is mentioned over 2,600 times in the Bible, but I saw only one mention of the word Palestine in all of Scripture, and that was from Joel chapter 3, verse 4. Yea, and right. What have ye to do with me, O Tyre and Zidon and all the coast of Palestine? Will you render me a recompense? And it goes on from there, but more than 2,600 times we see a reference to Israel. One time we see the word Palestine.
Well, in addition to that, let me just remind us all that the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 11 that the eye of the Lord is upon the land of Israel from the former range to the latter range. Second to that, every time we see a geographical location or direction, rather, in the Word of God, it always begins, Israel is the center of God's universe. And so when it says north, it's north from Israel. When it says south, it's south from Israel. Hmm. East and west and so forth. So this is where, and one of the reasons why Zechariah 2:8 tells us that whoever touches the Jew touches the apple of his eye. Listen, God miraculously brought, and I write about this extensively in my book, Miracle of Israel, but God miraculously brought the Jewish ethnicity into existence so that in the midst of a pagan, idolatrous world, that there would be a group of people who would be committed to Yahweh, to Yeshua, etc., and would live a life of holiness before people. Now, granted, the Jewish people failed to do that, but here's the kicker that most people overlook, and that is in Genesis 15, God enters into a special covenant with Abraham and his descendants through the child of promise, Isaac, and he swears by himself because there is no one greater to swear by, and in that process, he declares the nation or the Jewish people are his people, chosen by God. And so today what we're seeing is this anti-Semitic hatred of the people, but at the root of this, it's deeper than that. This is a God versus Satan conflict. A number of years ago, the History Channel involved me in a documentary called by that same title. It was just called, the God versus Satan was the title of this documentary. I suppose it's still out there somewhere. But anyway, it was aired and so forth and so on. But the bottom line is we need to realize we're engaged in spiritual warfare. Mm-hmm. It's not just what we see with our eyes. There's a war going on behind the scenes here. In fact, I'm working on a new book that is really, you know, what's going on behind the scenes with this conflict. Because, and here's the amazing part, Jim, we're not going to see this come to a conclusion in the real near distant future. It's not going to happen. This conflict is going to continue to be raised because Iran's proxies, of course, being Syria, Lebanon, and of course the terrorist organizations and so forth, they're not going to give up on their concept of world domination and bringing about a worldwide catastrophe in order for Islam to reign and rule over the whole world. And as you and I talked about earlier, these are the ruling mullahs in Israel. But the truth of the matter is, on the ground in the reigning ruling mullahs of Iran, and as we talked about earlier, on the ground in Iran, there is a great sweeping revival taking mm-hmm. place. Muslim people are coming to Christ in great numbers because they are sick and tired of conflict. They want peace, and they're discovering that Yeshua is the Prince of Peace and that their religion offers them nothing. And yet in Christ, they find peace and fulfillment and a new nature and a new purpose in life. These are perilous times, but they're also exciting times because when the church of Jesus is persecuted, it rises up and it becomes a mighty marching army. I would just remind people in Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus said, "Upon this rock, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it."
Amen.
I would remind our listeners that a gate is a defensive mechanism. And what Jesus is really saying is, my mighty marching army of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be on attack. And Satan is doing all that he can with gates to try to prohibit that from happening. But he is a loser. He is a defeated foe.
You know, I found it very interesting, as you quoted from Zechariah chapter 12, about the whole world turning against Israel. Mm-hmm. And the United States has been a friend of Israel. We've had some doubts in the present administration as to some of the decisions made, but there was just some undercover video that was given of a Biden National Security Council advisor caught saying that, indicating that the Biden administration cannot go against Israel until after Biden's reelection. That's rather interesting.
Well, and here's the thing that we have to really contemplate. You know, what's happening here is we are on the fast track toward a coming Russian-led Islamic attack of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
This is for our listeners. This is Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39, 52 amazing, exciting verses of Scripture. That is, if you're on the right team. And having said that, everything that's happening right now is moving us steadily in that direction. Now, the Obama administration gave, as we all know, millions and millions, if not billions of dollars to the Iranians who are on mission to enrich enough highly enriched uranium to develop a nuclear weapon in order to use that weapon first against Israel and then against America. Now, here's what's interesting. Just a few weeks ago, the IAEA came out and said that they now know that Iran has enough uranium for at least two bombs.
Wow.
Well, let me tell you, if IAEA says two, they have more than that.
Tell you what, we're going to break right here. Dr. Gary Fraser, our guest, we're going to come back and talk about this Russian-led invasion. And what about this coalescing of Russia and China here, even in the past week? Back in a minute on Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how long have spiders been around?
Chris, spiders have been around evidently since creation, and even now evolutionists are admitting they've been around for a long, long time. Recently, a very well-preserved fossil spider was found in rock, dated by evolutionists to be about 300 million years old. Yet it was identical to a modern-day spider, complete with eight legs and even the intricate web-spinning features of modern spiders. The point is, Chris, there's no such thing as a simple organism. They're all complex, right from creation, with all of the abilities that we now attribute to them. Spiders may have had a different lifestyle back before the curse, but there is no such thing as simple to complex evolution, even among spiders. They were created, just like it says, back in Genesis.
Thanks, Dr. John. For more information, visit us on the web at icr.org. I'm Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.
Dr. Gary Frazier, our guest here today on Crosstalk. He is a well-respected speaker, writer on the subject of Bible prophecy, founder and president of Discovery Missions, author of several books. We have interviewed him extensively on his book, Miracle of Israel. By the way, it is available through Crosstalk here, our way of saying thank you for your support of $17 or more. That does include shipping to you, available by calling us at 800-729-9829. Ask for the book, Miracle of Israel. So, Dr. Frazier, as at just before the break, we were talking about this Russian-led attack that's going to be forthcoming against Israel. And we're going to also have you weave China into this as well, because we just saw, you know, the head of Russia, the head of China coming together and really forming, renewing alliances, forming this alliance, you know, working side by side. Should really be an eye-opener for all of us.
Well, again, it would be, that would be true, Jim, if, in fact, we were paying attention. The problem is that most of the world, especially, and I refer mostly to America, we're really not paying attention to what's going on. Let me give you an illustration. A few days ago, I was at my country club, and playing golf with some guys, and we made the turn at the halfway house there. And as I went up to get some water and so forth, the young lady kind of slid the glass thing open and said, "Can I help you?" And I said, "No, I'm just going to get some water." But I said, "Let me ask you a question. You're a college student, aren't you?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, let me ask this. What do you think about what's happening across America on these college campuses?" And she looked at me like a deer in the headlights and just said, "Oh, I don't know. I don't pay any attention to the news.
Wow.
I don't even know what you're talking about."
Oh, my.
But I said, "You're not aware of these demonstrations concerning Hamas and Jews?" And she said, "No." And I said, "Well, if I were you, I think I would look into this." And I went ahead and walked away. But let me just say this. This is not so uncommon. You may think this is strange, but it's really not so uncommon today. So many people are caught up in their day-to-day lives, and they're trying to work and their careers and raise their families and all these other kind of things. And the truth of the matter is, what was paramount on October 7th has been diminishing in importance across the cultural lines since that particular time. And so what's happening today is people are not aware of what's going on. So here we have a biblical passage of Scripture written 2,500 years ago, yet never fulfilled until our present time. And so what we're seeing happening now is, of course, we have what's so interesting to me is that we have Russia who wants to rule the world, the Chinese want to rule the world, the Muslims want to rule the world, and the truth of the matter is they don't get it. None of them are going to rule the world.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the point for believers. We need to be aware because, you see, Jim, all the things that are happening right now, this coming together of this Russian-led Muslim coalition, a coalition rather from Ezekiel 30 and 39, this is not a fairy tale. This is not science fiction. We're seeing alliances formed and people making commitments to one another in the way of military assistance and so forth that has never been seen before. And so now we have in Ezekiel chapter 38, just so our people can understand, in verse 2, it says that a person he's identified as Gog of Magog. Now, the word Gog is the Hebrew word Rosh, which means head of, and Magog is an ancient country. Herodotus, the father of ancient history, told us in the 5th century B.C. that these people live north of the Black Sea in the Caucasus Mountains, and he virtually described what today is modern-day Russia. But by the way, we can find the Magogians in the Word of God itself. In Genesis chapter 10, in the Table of Nations, these are some of the descendants of the sons of Noah. And so we can identify who these people are and who this leader is because look at what's happening with Vladimir Putin. And so we can say today, because of the fact that Israel is in their land, all these things are coming together, the pieces of the puzzle are falling into place, so we can identify this Russian leader who has world domination aspirations. And so now we have, in addition to that, in verse 5 of chapter 38, the first country mentioned is Persia. In 1935, Persia became the Islamic nation of Iran. And it goes on to mention various other countries, parts of Africa, North Africa, South Africa, Sudan, so forth, so on, and also the northern part of the continent of Africa, but also a place called Bethlehem, which is modern-day Turkey. And we know that Erdogan, the president of Turkey, is an avowed Islamist and wants to destroy the Jews.
Right.
So here's my point in having said all this. Here is a coalition that we're told about 2,500 years ago. It has never happened before our time, that ought to cause us to pay attention to what is going on. Excuse me a minute. My allergies are driving me crazy. But anyway, having said that, so many people are oblivious to this. You know, Jim, I travel a great deal and speak in churches across the country on the subject of biblical prophecy and so forth. Do you know what I see most of the time? We will have this huge crowd on Sunday mornings for a Sunday morning service, and they're there, and we do some talking about this, and then we further talk about the fact that we're going to come back on Sunday night and dig a little deeper into this subject. And you know, the crowds on Sunday night will be about a third of what they're on Sunday morning. And that tells you something. It tells you that people are just simply not interested. They're more concerned about what is relative to them personally than knowing what God Himself has informed us of, so that we wouldn't be scared, but rather prepared.
Right, right.
And it's tragic today.
Dr. Gary Frazier is with us today, and friends, we do need to be watching. We need to be vigilant as to the matters, to be understanding of the times in which we live. Dr. Frazier, you mentioned Iran here in Persia there, and I want to delve a little bit further into this because, number one, we just saw the reports of the death of the president of Iran. He was called the butcher of Tehran, and to me it seems outrageous that the U.S. issued condolences over his death. The U.S. Senate chaplain issued a prayer for this man who killed so many. I mean, it's like passing on condolences to the families of the terrorists who were killed nearly 3,000 U.S. soil on 9/11. But Iran's fingerprints have been all over Israel, whether it be through Hamas or Hezbollah, other groupings as well. Their fingerprints in funding and provoking these wars against Israel. So lay out for us, clear, they're going to be part of this coalition. Help us understand Iran's issue in Bible prophecy, what it looks like for them in the future.
Well, Iran, as we all know, and this is true for every single nation in the world, Iran is the single largest sponsor of terrorism in the world. They fund it through the selling of their oil, etc., and so forth, and this is their goal because the mullahs who are in charge of Iran, not just the Ayatollah Khomeini, but the president who just died, that's the bottom line is they are all part of a group, and that group is called the Twelvers. And the Twelvers believe that the 12th descendant of Muhammad disappeared in 941 A.D., and now this will blow our folks' minds, but they believe that he's been living all this time in a well 40 miles outside Tehran. Now, that just says, that only brings one word to mind, and that is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, they believe that this imam will return in the quote-unquote end of days, but he will only come to elevate Islam to the dominant religion in the world, and all people will become subservient to Allah and Muhammad, his prophet. But this cannot happen in their philosophy, and I don't call it a theology because it is a philosophy. They believe that this cannot happen until they bring about a worldwide catastrophe. They believe that Allah has commissioned them to bring about a worldwide catastrophe to facilitate the return of this imam. Now, let me pause and make this comparison. Isn't it interesting when you hear this, if our people could understand, that Islam came about 600 years after Jesus, okay? Someone somewhere read the New Testament. Somebody read the book of Revelation. Someone read how there was going to be 21 successive judgments that God was going to pour out on a Christ-rejecting, Jew-hating world, and then the King of Kings and Lord of Lords was coming to establish his millennial reign of Christ on this earth. They took that and rolled that over into their own philosophy, And today, these men are driven by this concept. Now, having said that, let me be clear. There is no political solution to a religious problem. And what's happening in Iran that is spilling over into the nation of the world that will ultimately lead to this war that we're talking about, Ezekiel 38, 39, this is simply a commitment that they have made to be the instruments that Allah would use to bring about this catastrophe. Therefore, you can't negotiate this with them. There's no. We keep trying to throw money at them. We keep talking to them, and we keep treating these leaders like they're normal people. These are not normal people. These are people who are satanically driven. They worship a satanic god, Allah. They have a mindset to destroy anyone and everyone who does not submit themselves to Islam. So here we are in the, for lack of a better term, let me just use the word here, civilized, supposedly, westernized world, and we can't grasp how anyone could think like they think. And that's where the Israelis differ from us. Benjamin Netanyahu and the leadership of Israel understand the mindset of the Muslim leadership in Iran. They know that they cannot cooperate in any shape, form, or fashion. They know that they cannot convince them to back off or change their mind. And so I said all that to say this. There is a prophecy in Isaiah chapter 17, verse 1, that simply states that Damascus shall be no more. Damascus, for our listeners' sake, is the oldest continuously inhabited city on the face of the earth. And yet Isaiah the prophet writes 740 years before Jesus that this city will be totally destroyed. It will cease to exist. Now, how could that happen? Well, let me just say that in October of 1973, Israel was embroiled in what we call or know as the Yom Kippur War. They were on the verge of being destroyed by Syria in the north and Egypt in the south, and they were crying out to America and the president, Richard Nixon at that time, to provide military assistance to Israel. Golda Meir, the prime minister, said, "Mr. President, if you don't send us what we need, we're going to lose our country." Nixon responded, even though he's in the middle of Watergate, authorized a shipment of weapons. But here's the kicker. At the end of the runway in Tel Aviv was sitting an Israeli jet that was loaded with a nuclear weapon. And if the command, "Masada shall not fall again," had been given, they would have launched that attack against Syria with a nuclear weapon. So that was resolved, and it didn't happen then. But let me just say right now that can you just imagine if this thing in Israel were to get to just spin totally out of control and the nations of the world moved aggressively against the nation of Israel, that would put them and their sovereignty in jeopardy. I can see that Israel, who possesses a nuclear weapon, could in fact bring about the fulfillment of that prophecy. Which would then launch an incredible worldwide attack on the Jewish people by the Muslim nations in the world and those who will join with them. And by the way, when we read Ezekiel 30 and 39, one of the interesting things is, we'll come back and talk about it in a moment, but it says, and all the nations with you. So it's not just Iran.
No, friends, and all means all, and that would include the United States of America. We'll be back in 1 minute. Dr. Gary Frazier is our guest today. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
VCY invites you to obtain an audio recording of the Gospel According to John as narrated by Brad Canterbury.
In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
John's Gospel, presenting the words of Jesus, the way of salvation.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever...
You can share this as a gift or for listening over and over on your daily commute. VCY America is making available this narrated Gospel of John on 2 CDs for a donation of $12. Call during business hours, 1-800-729-9829. That's 800-729-9829.
But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name.
We're speaking today with Dr. Gary Frazier, and we're talking about, a current focus on Israel, and also look with through the lens of Bible prophecy. He has authored a book entitled Miracle of Israel. We have copies yet available through Crosstalk, our way of saying thank you for your support of $17 or more, covering the Israel past, present, and future. And powerful book. Dr. Frazier, you've got a number of resources on your website. That's GaryFrazier.com, correct?
That is correct. Yes.
GaryFrazier.com, and to find more about his ministry and resources that are available there. Just before the break, we were you're just introduced to us again here, Ezekiel 38, and about nations rising up against Israel. So the break kind of interrupted that thought there, so pick up where you left off.
Well, what I was talking about was the fact that what we see in this passage of Scripture, that it's not just Russia and Iran and these nations on the African continent and so forth, and Turkey, but it goes on to talk about how it talks about Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish and all her villages and so forth, and then it goes on to say this, and the many nations with you. And what I want our people to understand is that when Satan has an opportunity to motivate this leader, because this is very important in chapters 30 and 39, it says that God puts this evil thought in his mind, and that God puts a hook in his jaw, and he draws him down on the mountains of Israel. And there's no question that God is allowing this to happen, because he has a score to settle with these people who treated the Jewish people so badly for so long, of course, in the nation of Russia and so forth. Having said that, you know, we just need to realize that, again, I want to go back to the fact that every nation will turn against Israel, and that means America. And so what do we have here? Just recently, you and I were talking privately about the fact that, you know, we abstained from a major motion in the United Nations that allowed it to pass just an anti-Israel move. And then also, we're finding out that America has the information of tunnels and so forth where terrorists are basically been hiding out and so forth. They had all the information, and they did not turn it over to the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. And that constitutes a very serious offense, as far as I'm sure the leadership of Israel and certainly born-again evangelical believers are concerned.
Dr. Frazier, in light of all we've talked about today, and I know there's so much more, the question is, so what? What impact should that have upon us as believers today in light of all of this taking place?
Well, two things. And the first thing that I want to say is that all of these things that are happening right now, and remember I said two words, remember, frequency, intensity. But then I also want to remind our people, prophecy is fulfilled incrementally over time. So we are marching toward the ultimate fulfillment of all of these events. So what does that mean for us who name the name of Jesus? First of all, it means that we ought to be praying more than we have ever prayed in the past. That's the first thing. Second thing is as Peter tells us, he says, what manner of people ought you to be as you see the day, and that is the day of the coming of Christ, coming or ahead, and that is, he says, holy in your living. We should seek to live a life of personal holiness. We struggle with our flesh so much, and many times we lose that fight, but we need to be in a constant struggle to live our lives dedicated to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory, Paul the Apostle said, and we are more than overcomers through Christ who gave himself for us. But here's a project, Jim, that I, along with a friend of mine, Kirby Anderson, who hosts Point of View, which is a syndicated program across America. We are working on a project right now whereby we're going to sit down and we're actually going to just film a conversation. The conversation is one that people need to have available for their family members who are not believers. Because in a moment, the twinkling of the eye, the Bible tells us, Jesus is going to call the church, the bride, home. and there'll not be a single saved person on this earth at that, you know, one nanosecond after that happens.
Yeah.
Now, there will be a great revival takes place. Revelation 7, 9 through 11 tells us of this. But what we're concerned about is there's not a single family that does not have unsaved loved ones and family members. So what we're going to do is we're going to film this conversation. It's going to be almost like the old fireside chats, I suppose, mm-hmm. of Franklin Delano Roosevelt during World War II. But just to explain what has happened,
yeah.
why it's happened, where your loved ones have gone, and what you're going to be faced with in the days, weeks, yeah. and months ahead. And then we're going to put that video on a jump drive, because that's the only way that it cannot be stopped by anyone. In other words, you put anything on YouTube or the media, that they can control that.
Mm-hmm.
They can't keep you from putting a jump drive in. Having said that, we're going to be sending these out all across America to anyone and everyone who wants them. But what we're going to then ask each person who desires to have that, they need to have a card that they can simply put right in a prominent place so that someone who had come to look for them would be able to see it and read it. And that card needs to say, I know you're here looking for me, but I want you to know da-da-da-da-da-da. And by the way, my latest book is called The Event. You referenced it earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And The Event is the peace treaty of Daniel 9 that allows the world to have peace and the Jewish people to rebuild their temple. However, it's a covenant signed basically their own death with the Antichrist and so forth and so on. But it's a biblical, historical, fictional type message, and I wrote it because people need to realize yeah. just how close we are to these events that are going to take place. And so right now when you say, what does it mean to us? Well, it means that we need to get serious about who we are in Christ, number one. Number two, we need to get serious about sharing our faith. And number three, we also need to pay more attention to what is going on, because I will tell you that we need to be standing up for the right of the sovereign nation of Israel to protect itself against terrorists.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, I am very burdened about what's happening in Washington, D.C. I'm very concerned about the man who lives at 1600 Pennsylvania Boulevard, Pennsylvania Avenue, in the White House. And we need to be proactive in every single area and take a stand against the evil that surrounds us. Now, I'm not trying to be talking about being ugly or unkind. I'm talking about standing up for the truth, whether it be in the workplace, the classroom, or in the home. And more importantly, in the church.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Gary Frazier, our guest. Friends, we're opening our phone lines here, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Just as a point of reference, Dr. Frazier, when is that jump drive going to be available? How far down the road do you anticipate
that? Well, we're in the process, right? I don't have a date yet.
Okay.
But we're working to, trying to coordinate Kirby and my schedule is a little bit difficult, but we are doing this. This is something we've committed ourselves to do. So hopefully we're going to get it out relatively soon. This should not take very long to do this.
Okay, and another question then. My question earlier to you, to believers, what difference does it make? What message do you have for them? And you answered that very adequately, but now my question is, we don't want people to have to listen to that jump drive at a later time. We want them now to come to Christ. And we know there are many who listen to Crosstalk who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. What is your message to them today?
Well, here's the message, and it's very clear. The world is full of religion. And let me just be clear. Religion was originated by Satan. Religion is man's desire to gain merit before God by their own efforts and works. Jesus came to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. He gave his life as a sacrifice for us, and there is an empty tomb to prove that. And, not only did his disciples, I just finished a series in the book of John just this week, in fact. It's all posted on YouTube under my name, just Gary Frazier. But having said that, Jesus appeared to his disciples, and then we're told over 500 people saw him at one time following his resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the deal. If this man came, lived, died, and rose again, and were seen by that many people, shouldn't we pay attention to what it is that he says? And here's what he said. He said, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe, and that word believe is important because it is a word that means to trust in, that whosoever should trust in him should have eternal life. And so this is a free gift that God offers to all people. Why would we simply say no to the greatest act of love the world has ever seen?
Yeah.
Why would we say no to a historical truth that cannot be denied by any atheist, any agnostic in the world? They cannot deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the bottom line is, why did he do it? Because he loves us, mm-hmm. because he cares for us, because he wants us to have a quality of life. And in addition to that, as a bonus, we get this promise of an eternity to live forever in heaven. Let me be clear for our listeners. All of us, every person who has ever walked the face of this globe, is going to exist forever in one of two places, either in heaven in the presence of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, or separated in a place called hell. I wrote a book a few years ago called Hell is for Real.
Yes.
And the reason I wrote it is because hell is for real. And all one needs to do is look at what Jesus said about hell in the Bible. Do you know, Jim, our listeners may not be aware of this, but Jesus talked more about hell than any other subject other than salvation in his 3.5 years on the face of this earth. And it is the second most mentioned and doctrine taught in the Word of God. This is a real place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a place that was created for Satan and his fallen angels. God never wants us to go there. And so he's made it possible for us to know him by putting our trust in him. And so this is something that if our listeners today do not know him and they've never done that, let me be clear, we're not talking about a church. We're talking about a personal relationship with a living person, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And
Amen.
To surrender our lives is simply a process of calling upon his name. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise from him.
Amen.
And so when we ask him to save us, he does just that. And then he begins the process of fleshing out our lives and helping us to walk and live for him in obedience every day of our lives.
We're going to Joseph in Bellevue, Michigan. Joseph, you're on the air.
Hi, Brother Jim and Brother Gary. I appreciate this program.
Hi, Joseph.
I had a question. Yeah, I was listening to Isaiah 19 on my way to work yesterday. And
Hello, Joseph.
Israel, hello, and, Joseph.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, very quickly. Breaking up.
Sorry. What is Isaiah 19 talking about? Is it something that happens in the millennium?
Okay. Oh, yeah. Much of Isaiah 19 has to do with the fact that the rivers in Egypt are going to dry up and so forth and so on. And in that day, Isaiah talks about how the Egyptians will be like women and shudder with fear and so mm-hmm. forth. Much of that is prophetic at the end. However, there's some of that that has in fact happened. For example, in Isaiah 19, verse 18, it talks about the five cities in Egypt that will speak the language of Canaan and swear allegiance to the Lord, and one of them will be called the City of Destruction, which is El Arish. And in addition to that, Rapha plays into that role as well. There's much more to say about that, but yes, read it carefully, Joseph, and you'll glean some great truth from it.
Thank you for the call. We're up against a break. We'll come back to more of your calls. Following it, Dr. Gary Frazier is with us. By the way, that book he referenced, Tell Us For Real, that's also available here through VCY. Can reach out at 800-729-9829 for more details. Back in 1 minute here on Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. Our website is worldviewtube.com. D.L. Moody said, quote, I grow weary in the work, but not of the work, end quote. My friends, do you feel that way? Do you grow weary sometimes in our work and labor for the Lord, but you don't grow weary of the work? Well, this is exactly what the Lord commended the church of Ephesus of in Revelation chapter 2. He commended them for not growing weary as they were doing what? Not tolerating wicked people. They were pointing out false apostles. They were very, very patient with people. They were not tolerating wicked people. He commends them before he seeks to correct them. and tells them to get back to your first love. What's your motivation? What motivates us? We might be doing the right things, but for the wrong motive. Let's continue to persevere. Let's continue to not become weary of the work, even though sometimes in the work.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Dr. Gary Frazier, our guest, and taking your calls here today on the broadcast. Let's get right back to the phone lines. Mark in Monroe, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Okay, I'm responding to Gary's comment about the big picture, yeah, pertaining to Israel's prophecy. First of all, God is omniscient. Even before the foundation of the world, He knows all things before, during, and after. So my point is when it comes to prophecy to Israel and all the other prophecy, is it has to take place. You know, God is not a liar. Mm-hmm. Satan counters that with, has God said? So those who are in the realm of disbelief, ultimately, God sends strong delusion. So regardless of whether they're, fooled, duped, or whatever you want to call it, prophecy must take place or that would make God a liar. Yeah. And since Satan is the father
of... Yeah, I get it. But listen, is there a question that you want to ask? Because we're up against a hard break here. We just have a couple of minutes.
No, that's just strictly a
thank
statement.
Thank you so much. But thank you. And okay, indeed, just as...
Hey, thanks for your call. That's a good word.
Thank you for that. Barry in Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yes, what the man is saying is exactly right. You know, I don't think people really realize how close we are to things. And most people will not believe any of this until they actually see it happen. Yeah. And I'm not talking about what the Bible talks about unbelievers. I'm talking about what the Bible talks about as sinners. And, the Bible says sinners are those that know to do right and do it that not. And our churches are full of them.
Yeah, indeed. And, Barry, do you have a question for our guest today?
During this tribulation time.
Great. Thank you, Barry. Bob in Pennsylvania, you're on the air.
Yes. I was just wondering what your guest thinks of talking about. It looks like Ezekiel 38 and 39 moving on down towards fulfillment, possibly, but what is his feelings, and how does he fit into 38:11, where it talks about Israel living in a land of unwalled villages, peace and safety?
Okay.
Now, let me answer it real quick. Like, Israel today, since 1948, is living in a land of they do not live behind walls. They are living in, the Bible uses the word twice and says that they're living in safety. And people misunderstand what is presented in this passage of Scripture. Living in safety does not mean that there is a total, complete absence of the possibility of evil or wars or harm. But prior to 1948, Israel had, for 1,878 years, no military force of their own. They were at the mercy of foreign powers and nations that came and went. But after 1948, Israel now has their own military, and compared to what they've experienced in centuries past, they are now living in relative peace and safety, even though that does not mean they will not have conflicts. The word actually is Yisrael Yashab Batak, and that's in verses 8 through 14, and you need to look that up into context to understand what is fully being said.
Great.
Thanks for your call, though.
Thank you, Bob. Scott in Clarksburg, West Virginia, you're on the air.
Yeah, one of America's biggest vulnerabilities is that it will predictably rise to the bait of any challenge or provocation. Do you think that the way Israel is being at war with Iran and its proxies, not really Iran, but its proxies, and Russia attacking Ukraine and Taiwan being threatened by China, do you think this is superpower baiting, that like the way Al-Qaeda tried to bleed America dry was their objective, and they're by baiting America into long, drawn-out wars and stuff? Do you think this is leading into
Revelation 8? Let me answer real quickly because we're out of time. Let me just say this. The current administration is weakening our military to the point, as you well know, we have incredible men and women of God, men and women in our military who resign, who are leaving the military because of the diversity and equity, inclusion, and the woke positions and so forth. And we're more concerned about a military that is woke-minded than we are being able to train and fight and defend the freedoms that we've been given by our God. So my personal position is that we're not willing to take a stand. The soldiers may, but the administration and leadership and the politics that are driving this are not.
Yeah, thank
you. Thanks for your call.
Thank you. Let's go to Merle in Tennessee. Merle, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim. I know that 2 Peter 3 was mentioned about where Peter says, you know, the scoffers are rising, and then he says, in light of this, and in light of, you know, what's going to happen in that day, what manner of lives should we lead?
Yeah.
He's talking about the day of the Lord. And when the heavens will be shaken. Also, if you look in 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul, when he's talking about it, there again it says, the day of the Lord. And in Matthew 24, when Jesus said...
What's the question? What's the question? Merle,
you'll see me coming in all my glory.
Merle,
but he talks about, again, the heavens being shaken.
Okay, I guess this is a comment here. And let's squeeze Bill in from Greendale, Wisconsin. Bill, you're on the air.
Hi, I have a question. If our guest speaker here, Revelations 9, verse 18, do you feel that the motivation for the peace treaty would line up with this verse, Revelations 9, 18, pertaining to one third of mankind being destroyed from the fire, smoke, and brimstone? Thank
you. This is the book of Revelation from chapter 6 and forward. Chapter 4, verse 1 and forward is dealing with the tribulation period, the 2,560 days of tribulation, 2,520 days of tribulation, rather. And so in chapter 9, this is a portrait of part of what is taking place when the angel pours his trumpet out, and this is these are part of the 21 judgments of God upon this Christ-rejecting, Jew-hating world. Thanks for your call. Great word.
Thank you. And we're going to have to stop there with the calls. We've got just 3/4 of a minute. Dr. Frazier, what would you like to leave with our listeners here today?
Well, I would just simply ask them, prayerfully pay attention to what's going on, and don't be afraid to stand up and speak out.
Yeah, indeed. And friends, time is short. And
Amen.
We don't know the day nor the hour, but we do know we had to occupy until the Lord returns. And certainly, friends, let's keep our eyes heavenward, but also let's stay attuned to what's going on. The men of Issachar were commended. They were understanding of the times, Doctor. So,
And one other final thing I'd say is this. Even though I write books, and there are many, many wonderful books that are out there, don't spend more time reading books about the Bible than you spend reading the Word of God.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Frazier, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Jim. God bless.
Dr. Gary Frazier, our guest here today on the program. And by the way, his website, GaryFrazier.com, GaryFrazier.com. Some of the books he did reference here today, Miracle of Israel and Hell is for Real. We do have them available through Crosstalk at 800-729-9829. But I echo his words, make the Bible your primary book that you are reading, the primary textbook for life. God bless you, friends. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.